Well, are you ready for the word this morning? I want you to go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, and I want you to hold your place there because we're going to keep referring back to it all morning long. But Psalm chapter 8, or Psalm 8, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. I'm focusing on verse 2, but I want to read 1 and 2. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Now, when I was rereading this morning, it hit me. He has set his glory. That is the majesty of God. That is his might, his power, his strength, his all that God is. He said, you've set it far above the heavens. In other words, it's so far out of reach. I mean, it's just so awesome, so mighty. But Lord, it's way up there. You set it above the heavens, above the handiwork, above your creation, above all that we can see or know. God, your glory is even bigger than that and grander than all those things. And then verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now, this is something here because he says you've set your glory above the heavens, and then out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. The word ordained there literally is to establish or to lay a foundation. God has laid a foundation of strength. And the word strength there is might, means strength. It's interpreted as strength, as strong, as power, as might, as loud or mighty. He says, because of your enemies. See, you need to understand something. As great as God's glory is, as magnificent as that is, as wonderful, as grand as all that is, God has placed that in the mouths of babes and infants. The power of heaven has been given to us because God has laid a foundation of strength. Now, what is that strength? Well, I'll just read this, but in Matthew 21, 16, Jesus quotes this scripture. And in the New Testament, Jesus says it a little bit different. He says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected, which means to make fit, to equip or prepare, you have perfected praise. Jesus is quoting, and as he quotes it, strength in Psalm 8:2, Jesus interprets it as praise in Matthew 21:16. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected, prepared, equipped, make fit praise. Now, I want to talk about praise this morning. And praise is so often misunderstood, because so many, even Christians, think that praise is something you can only give to God when you feel good. You know, when everything's going fine, then I can offer up praise to God. Because one of the things I run into so often is when people are going through trouble, I say, well, you, if you're going through problems, you need to praise the Lord. And they look at me and say, you don't understand. I'm hurting right now. I understand that. You need to praise the Lord. You don't understand. You know, for instance, if you were out in the Midwestern states where the tornadoes hit and you just lost your home, and I would say to you, well, you need to praise the Lord. Gordon, I just lost my home. I lost my house. I lost everything. I'm not in the mood to praise God. I said, you need to praise the Lord. You need to pray. Gordon, you don't understand how horrible it is right now. I mean, it's just a few days. I've lost my home. I have no place to go. I'm going to have to move in with relatives. We're going to have to do all this work and clean up. And you're telling me I need to praise the Lord? Exactly. I'm telling you, you need to praise the Lord. Now, see, we have this misunderstanding because we think, well, you have to feel good to give praise. I can only worship God, I can only praise God when things are going right in my life. And it's like, no, you need to praise God when everything is going bad. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come to church and it's been a hard week, come to church and things have happened that we wish wouldn't have happened. We got mad, we got angry, someone got angry with us, you know, something didn't go right on your job. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're getting ready to start a new job. Maybe your car broke down. You know, maybe whatever happened. Most of us, we come to church and we've had a rough time during the week. Things didn't always go the way that we wanted them to go. And you're hoping that I have some encouraging words for you. And the last thing you want to hear from me is another warning about the work that God has set out before us. The last thing you want to hear from me is either a message on you need to repent or you need to stand. You know, either one is like, Gordon, I want you to have, I want a feel-good sermon. I want to be able to go out of church, and I'm trying to help you here. I want to feel good. Well, you need to praise the Lord. You need to pray. It's like, Gordon, that's just like repent. I've been beaten down all week long. I've repented all week long, and you come and tell me to repent. You're coming to tell me you need to continue to stand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. It's like, Gordon, I'm tired of standing. I've been standing. You need to praise the Lord. You need to praise God. You need to get a change on your perspective. Amen? See, praise is the foundation of strength in your life. That's what Psalms 8 is telling us. Without praise, you have no foundation. Without praise, you have nothing to build on. You have nothing to anchor your faith in. So, see, we think praise, well, if I feel good, no. Let's go back. Look at Psalm 8:2 again. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained, laid a foundation of praise because of your enemies. Not because you feel good, not because everything went right this week, not because, boy, this has been a wonderful week. I'm just so happy today. I can finally offer up praise to God. No, God has established a foundation of praise in the mouths of babes and infants. Now, what is a babe or an infant? Both of them are describing children that have not yet gained the level of speech. Jesus said babes and nursing infants. These are children that haven't been able to learn to speak yet. They haven't said mama or dada. And God is saying in Psalm 8:2 that he wants to lay a foundation of praise in the mouths of children so that they can establish their life in the things of God. And when we don't lay a foundation of praise, what is your foundation? Psalm 103 says, forget not all the benefits of God. Don't forget his benefits. But his benefits, let me put it like this. If you do not believe in the benefits of God, you have no basis of faith. Why do we have faith in God? Because he loves us. Why do we have faith in God? Because he cares for us. He has made provision for us over and over and over. He sent Jesus crucified from the foundation of the world that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, the Father, did all these things, and Jesus is that physical part of God that we can see and touch and handle and know the power and the love of God and know the sacrifice that the Father has done for you and for me. But if we don't have any concept of a reward, of a benefit, then what is your faith anchored in? There is no anchor for your faith. Well, I sure hope one of these days my ship comes in. Well, it might, but it might be on fire. It might become limping in with holes in its side. It might be just sink right at the dock, you know, and you lose everything. Ships can come in a lot of ways, but when we think about that, well, you know, we're not just hoping for our ship to come up. Man, we're believing and trusting God that our boat's on its way, that it's going to arrive, and we're going to unload it, and everything in it is going to be safe. Amen. See, that this is why praise is so important to a believer. And it's why we need to learn to praise God when you got born again. And if you're like where I was raised, we didn't know about praise. Nobody told us to praise the Lord. We thought you were a fanatic if you said, oh, thank God. You know, just, whoa, stand back, devil. You know, just look out, get out of their way. And it's like, you know, to be happy in church. I mean, seriously, when I grew up, one of the things that really bugged me as a child in church, because I was faithful in church because Dad was a pastor, so we were there every week. And we were there every time the doors opened. You know, we had no choice. You're going to church. And it was never an issue. We never argued about it because that was just what we did. There was no discussion. There was no argument. There was no, oh, I don't feel like going to church again. No, we just, church, that's our life. We go to church. But the thing that bugged me is everybody in church is, yes, brother, amen. During the sermon, during the singing, you know, we'd sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. We'd sing, you know, joyful, joyful, da, da, da. And everybody go, joyful, joyful, blah, blah. It's like, there was no joy. I mean, nobody was happy about anything because it's church. You can't be happy in church. You can't be happy in worship. It's like, well, why can't you be happy in worship? I mean, I think about this now. This is so easy. We worship on Sundays in celebration of the resurrection of our Lord because he rose from the dead the first day of the week. Now, tell me, what Christian should not be happy about that? But it's like every Sunday we come together and we're, in the denomination I was raised in, it seemed like the mindset was, we gather again to celebrate the death and the burial of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, that was Friday. This is Sunday. If you want to celebrate his death and his burial, show up on Friday night at church. Now, how many Christians would do that? Zero. Friday night's the night of the football game, the basketball game, the soccer game, whatever. But Friday, oh, no, we can't go to church on Friday, so we'll hold all that over till Sunday morning. And we never got to the resurrection part. And it bugged me. I mean, you could see it on their faces. They wouldn't smile in church. Once you walked in the doors of the church, you couldn't smile anymore. Serious. This is the house of God. You know. And as soon as, and this is a part that really bugged me. I didn't like that part because as a little kid, I'm happy. As a little kid, I'm playing, you know. Mom made me the little sock rabbit or handkerchief rabbit. You know what that is? You know, because she wouldn't allow me to bring toys because they made noise. But if I really begged her and pleaded with her, and I could plead, I tell you, she'd make this little handkerchief thing with a little couple bunny ears on it, and I'd play with that. I mean, that's all you got. That's what you play with. But when everybody got out, when church was let out, everybody's still sad, and they come to the door and shake my dad's hand, and I'd stand there with Dad most of the time. They'd shake his hand, and as soon as they stepped over the threshold, hey, how you doing, Joe, man? Did you see that game the other night? You know, so, and they're all excited, and they're laughing, and they're slapping each other on the back, and they're having fun, and it always hit me, why can't that be church? It's because they have no foundation of praise. They have no foundation of the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not a problem. So when you tell somebody you need to praise the Lord, it's not just, oh, you get over it. It's not that. It's like, because of your enemy, because there's someone out there trying to kill you and destroy you, you've got to learn how to praise the Lord. You've got to learn how to do this. This is practical. If you're fighting depression, you need to learn how to praise the Lord. If you're fighting discouragement, you've got to learn how to praise the Lord. When you get the news that your son's ankle is crushed, you got to start praising the Lord. You got to start, God, you're going to get us through this. I don't know how, but God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And we don't have a crushed ankle anymore. It's healed. I love it that the ligaments and tendons that were ripped off have reattached themselves. Wow. Doctors really can do a lot of things, can't they? Well, Dr. Jesus can. Yeah. Amen. If you go to the right physician, amen. You know, our doctors practice medicine. Jesus heals. I like that. Hallelujah. Write that down for me. But we've got to have this attitude of appreciation, this attitude of thankfulness with God. We've got to have this life spark on the inside of us that no matter what happens, I'm not going to allow the devil to steal my joy. I'm not. Your joy is one of the most precious things that you have. And I'm not talking about the ha ha ho ho, nothing matters. I'm talking about a joy that God is with me and He'll never leave me or forsake me. I'm talking about the joy that no matter what comes my way, God has already made provision for me. And it's already on its way because I'm believing and trusting in God that I have those things that I'm believing for. It's that foundation of joy that when I'm in the hospital and laid up, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. You know, when they took me, the first year I was going to go to Haiti, I was having some physical problems, and we went to the doctor just for a checkup, just to kind of be sure that I didn't have the flu, and I didn't want to be in Haiti with a bad case of flu. And we went to Ohio, and our old family doctor, because we were there over Christmas holidays and everything, and we called him up and said, can we just stop in and see you a little bit? He said, sure, I'd love to see you guys again anyway. So we went in, and he took one look at me and said, I'm going to run a blood test. I said, okay with me, I don't care. You know, I'm going in for the flu, and he's wanting to look at my blood, well, whatever. And he called me up later that afternoon and said, Gordon, your blood test came back. You have your blood level is 5.2, 5.8, something like that. I forget now. Boy, it's been a long time. And he said, now, when you get back home, I want Debbie to take you immediately to the hospital. I want you to check in. Okay. Well, we got back home, went to D.C. and visited my sister, and I was real tired coming back, so I told Debbie, I'm going to let you drive home. And I mean, I would go to sleep and different things like that real quickly. Ate a lot of potato chips, ate a lot of things with salt. I couldn't figure out why I was eating so much salt. And we finally went to a local doctor, and he looked at me, and he says, well, I'm going to order blood tests. Oh, we just had one a few days ago. Oh, well, what was it? And I told him, and he started writing on a piece of paper, and he gave Debbie the paper and says, I want you to take him to the hospital. I want you to check him in. I want you to get a wheelchair for him. Do not allow him to walk up to the room. I'm like, what's going on? He says, your blood count should be 15 to 16. I had lost 2/3 of my blood. Doctors, my surgeon told me, he says, people like you I usually meet after they've passed out, have a split head, and he says a lot of them die before they even get to the hospital because you could rupture at any moment and you have so little blood you would just bleed to death in seconds. Well, in that time, well, I'll tell you the end first. They gave me 4 units of blood so I would survive surgery because they said I would die on the table if they took me in immediately for surgery. 4 units of blood. Kathy came in. I'll never forget this. Kathy came in after they give me the units of blood, and she's standing there looking at me. And I said, what are you looking at? She says, your ears, they're pink. They have color. I had been white, I mean white, for almost a year. Because we figured out that's how long that this had been living like this. And I was just, I felt so good after they gave me the 4 units of blood. Who needs surgery now? I'm ready to go home, man. I feel better than I have for a long time. Well, one of the things that happened beforehand, because we used to, this is when we were at the fire hall, and we had like, what, 20 steps, 23 steps or something from the bottom to the top. And when I would get to the top of the steps, I'd have to take a break because I was out of oxygen. And I remember one time we were in praise and worship, and I got my arms up. And we're worshiping God. And the devil came to me. Now, this is evidence of God that the devil can talk to you while you're in church. So, you know, always have your guard up. And the devil came to me and says, I'm going to kill you today. You are going to die today. And I wasn't trying to be full of faith, great man of valor. My immediate response is, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die praising the Lord. I put my hands up and I started dancing. I mean, I just started going for it and just worshiping God, and I started twirling a little bit, and I was dancing and everything like that, you know, went on to preach and everything like that. And like, devil couldn't take my life. And I believe with all my heart, my willingness to praise God is what saved my life. over and over for a year. I've magnified and I praise God for all the things. Why is praise so important? Because of the enemy. Because of the avenger that is coming after you. You've got to learn how to praise the Lord. This is not an incidental thing. This is not a theological issue. It's not a, well, I don't feel like praising. It's like, you're commanded to praise the Lord. I can give you countless scriptures. It says, praise ye the Lord. It doesn't say, well, when you feel like it, when it's convenient. It says, praise the Lord. In season and out of season. In all times, no matter what's going on. Praise the Lord. It's like, man, I just don't feel. Have you ever felt like not praising the Lord for whatever reason? If you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. But, you know, it's like there's times you're like, man, I just, anything but praising the Lord. Have you ever been in the hospital laying on your back and he's like, well, praise the Lord. Oh, I don't feel like praising the Lord. I praise God when they brought me out of surgery. This is so funny to me because we had a friend that she went into surgery several years ago. And when she came out, they brought her out on the table. And when you're under anesthetic, all that hidden stuff tends to come up to the surface. And she's a pastor and she's cussing like a sailor. I mean, she just, words come, just, it's like, oh, how embarrassing. And when I came, when they brought me out, Debbie says, I'm mumbling stuff. And I'm saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so she said, I'm confessing the 23rd Psalm coming out of surgery. I go, praise God. It's a whole lot better than cursing like a sailor, I'll tell you. It's like, but it's because it's got to become a part of your life, a part of your subconscious, a part where no matter what happens, oh, praise you, God, praise you, Father. And you're not being ignorant, and you're not trying, well, I'm just pretending that those things don't exist. No, I know they do exist. That's why I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising God because He's my answer. He's the one that's going to get me out of this mess that I'm in. No matter how I got into the mess, God's the one that's going to get me out of it. And if I don't praise the Lord, I'm going to stay in the mess. I'm going to stay in that situation. Go to Psalm 103. I'm just going to read. We've referred to this a couple of times in the last few weeks, but it's still a good thing. Keep your place in Psalm 8. But in Psalm 103, it says in verse 1, bless the Lord. See, that's a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You've got to tell your soul to bless the Lord. You've got to tell your soul, praise God. Because sometimes your soul doesn't feel like it. Sometimes your soul is tired. Sometimes your soul is worried, is wearied. It's burned out. Your soul has had all that it can take for the day. You are overflowing, and it's not good stuff. You've got to command your soul, magnify the Lord. Soul, you will do this. And you've got to force yourself, bless the Lord. That's usually how it starts when you don't want to do it. Well, praise God anyway. Have you ever said that? Praise God anyway. I'm going through all this stuff. God, do you know how serious I am? Do you know how messed up all this situation is? Do you know how nothing has ever gone right for me in my life? Well, praise the Lord. And you start that way and you're like, well, praise the Lord. And then you start thinking, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. With all my might, I will magnify you, oh, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You saved me. You delivered me from hell. Oh, thank you, God. You've really made a difference in my life, Father. Oh, God, I praise you. I thank you, God. You are so merciful. God, you are so kind to me. God, you are so good. I don't deserve any of this goodness at all. I don't deserve anything, God, that you've given to me. But, oh, God, thank you. And all of a sudden, you've gone from forcing yourself to praise God to where now it's a delight. And now there's energy coming back into you. There is strength coming back into you. There is joy coming back on the inside of you. Why? Because you're finally magnifying God instead of all the issues. Yeah. And that's key to know who you magnify. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. See, this is where I'm coming at when I say that If praise is the foundation for our life, it says here, forget not all His benefits. Once you start forgetting the benefits of God, your faith starts growing cold. Once you start ignoring it. See, young Christians that don't know there's benefits of God have a hard time praising God and hard time walking in faith because they don't know God's going to do anything for them. That's why Hebrews 11:6, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, if you don't know that, if you're not studied in that, if you don't accept that and you have no hope of a reward, it's awful hard to have faith in God. I mean, you will hear good Christians, well, why did God allow this to come on me? Did you ever think maybe if you were to praise God, it wouldn't? I mean, you can either have a bullet removed or dodge it. Dodging it is a lot easier. And you don't have the healing process to get over it later because you dodged the bullet. Why? I praised the Lord. I worshiped him. And when you praise him, he'll begin to speak to you. He'll begin to lead you and direct you. Why? Because you're focused on him. I'm not forgetting his benefits. I don't want to forget anything that God has done for me. That's one of the reasons of studying the scripture, to remind yourself of the benefits and mark them. I mean, I've got one Bible, when I first started reading, I put a P beside every promise. It's like, man, I'm marking this down. I had no concept of rewards or benefits, but this was a good promise. I mean, this is good stuff. And I marked it down. Promise, promise, promise. There's a bunch of them in there. But how can you believe in it or for it if you don't know it? If a bank will give me a house loan at 3% interest, but I don't know it, I'll go over to this other group and because maybe they advertise a lot on TV, and they'll give me a loan for 10 or 15% interest. And I may think, well, praise God, he's going to bless me with that 10 or 15% interest and bless me with finances to pay it off and everything like that. But wouldn't it be a lot smarter to get the 3%? Yeah. But if I don't know about the 3%, I can't take advantage of it. If you don't know the benefits of God, how can you believe for it? How can you begin to activate your faith for what you don't know that God is willing to give to you? If you don't understand what God has already done and prepared for you, how can you have faith to do those things or to receive what God has given to us? Amen? Go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Praise is crucial in difficult times. Not just in the easy times, but in the hard times, praise is crucial to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. In what? In what are we to greatly rejoice? We'll go back up to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us or caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Do you know you have an inheritance? Do you know what that inheritance is? See, an inheritance is something that somebody else gives to you and you don't have to pay for it. The person has died, has given it to you. And what I like is when people, your family is still alive and they still give you your inheritance. That way you get the inheritance and you still get to enjoy them. Hallelujah. Jesus did it both ways. He died to give it to us and he's alive so we can enjoy him with the inheritance. Amen. So to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Excuse me. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we need to rejoice in these things. We need to rejoice that we're born again, that Jesus is resurrected, that we have an inheritance, that God keeps us through his power, that we have faith for salvation. We need to rejoice in God for these things. This is a partial list. Begin to rejoice in that. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. The people that Peter is writing to are going through a tough time. And Peter is reminding them of all these other things, and he says, rejoice in these things. I know you're going through a hard time right now, but I want you to rejoice in these things. In the glory of God, of what he's done, of his benefits. I want you to rejoice in those things. He says, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. that the genuineness of your faith. See, praise shows the genuineness of your faith. It's easy to praise God when everything's going fine. It's easy to praise God when you're on top of the world and say, God, I thank you. You meet all my needs according to your riches and glory. But what happens when everything is taken out from underneath you? Can you still praise God who supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory? Can you still do that? Well, Gordon, I don't have anything. Is God still the supplier? Did God change when you're on top or when you're on the bottom? No, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. God is the same. Your situation's changed. Now, if God is the same and we praise him in good times, shouldn't we also praise him in bad times? Because he didn't change. Remember, we are praising God, not your situation. God doesn't change. If God deserves your praise, if he deserves your thankfulness for when he just saved your life, then when you're going through hell, you ought to thank him too. Because he hasn't changed. He's the same. Your situation changed. It's different today than it was yesterday. God didn't change. You're not praising your situation. You're not praising the trouble that you're in. You're not praising the world around you. You are praising God, who doesn't change. So therefore, our focus has got to be on God. I could go back and re-preach about the temporary and the eternal. You need to praise the eternal, not the temporary, because temporary changes. That's why it's called temporary. The eternal is everlasting. The eternal never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He says, you are to the to who Peter's writing to, he says, you've been grieved by various trials, but praise reveals the genuineness of your faith, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise. May be found to praise. Oh, I like that. To praise at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You love him. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen Jesus, but I love him. I haven't seen my deliverance yet, but I still praise God for it. Why? Because I love my God. I haven't seen the things that I'm praying for yet, but I love God, so just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean I can't thank and praise God for those things that I haven't seen, because I haven't seen God. I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't seen the Holy Spirit, but I know they're present. I know their work. I know they're doing things, so I can praise and magnify them. Just bask in their greatness. Amen. Just enjoy who they are. Again, in Psalm 8, there must be a foundation of praise laid when we are first born again, when we are babes and infants, to establish us in the strength and the power of Yahweh. Praise establishes us. It's the foundation of our strength and praise. in Psalm 108, or I'm sorry, 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Well, if you're not redeemed, you can't say that you are. Not in faith. See, if you said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so what? Say, I'm redeemed of the Lord. Well, what does redeem mean? My price has been paid. I've been ransomed. God has stepped in, and whatever my debt was, God has paid off my debt and paid whatever it takes to get me out of that situation. God has redeemed me. He set me free. I'm going to say so. Well, just in the good times, no, when I'm in prison, I know he's still going to pay my debt. When I'm in trouble, God's still going to pay my debt. Why? He has my ransom. He's my redeemer. He's the one that's going to get me out of the spot I'm in. So I'm going to praise him. How can you be so happy in trials? I know my Redeemer lives. That's what Job said. They were saying, curse God and die. Look at all the bad things that Job, just get over this faith stuff and just praise God and die. Job responded, I can't do that. I know my Redeemer lives. I know it. Job, have you ever seen your Redeemer? No, but I know he lives. Why? Because God doesn't change. He knew enough about God that he knew that God loves us, that God has a plan for us, and if we serve him and follow after God to the best of our intentions, the best of our ability, God will redeem us. Job had that revelation. He lived before Abraham. That's what a lot of people believe, that he was before Abraham. He knew these things. In Romans 4:17, it says, Yahweh calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's how faith reacts. We call things that do not exist as though they are. How do you do that? One of the ways is praise. One of the ways is to thank God for it. Do you have it yet? No. Well, why are you praising God for it? Because it's on its way. Because I know my Redeemer lives. Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and I believe I'm redeemed. I believe God's got my debt in his bag. He's got it all covered. Well, how far does that go? How big's God? See, I don't know how God's able to meet this. Oh, well, your God's pretty small then, isn't he? You don't have much faith in that your God can get you out of that situation that you're in. No, faith, God's a big God. Remember Psalm 8, verse 1? He says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Is your God able to sit up there above the heavens, or does he sit in the living room chair next to you? How big is your God? See, if you can't praise him in the little things, you're not going to be able to praise him for the big things. But you've got to have, your God has got to be bigger than your trouble, or else you have the wrong God. I'll put it like that, just real sweet and simple. So, is Yahweh your redeemer? Is he your helper? Is he your healer? Say so. Say he is. God, I thank you, you're my healer. I thank you, God, you're my redeemer. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. You are who you say you are, God. You are not a man that you should lie. I praise you, Father, that you are all of these things to me. Praise him. Say, but I don't really know how to pray. In the mouths of babes and infants, God has laid a foundation of praise and strength because of your enemies. So we're going to praise God. Amen. We're going to thank him because he is a good, good, good God. I like this. In Psalm 8:2, it says, he's ordained strength or praise because of your enemies. Listen, that he may silence, put to an end, exterminate, destroy, remove, cause to fail the enemy and the avenger. That's what God wants to do. That's the work of praise in your life. To put an end to exterminate, to destroy, to remove, to cause to fail your enemy and avenger. It's like, well, how can I do all that? Learn to praise the Lord. Learn to magnify him. Learn to keep your focus on him. The Bible says Satan is the accuser, but he's not only the accuser, he is your enemy. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the one who has life. Not your problem, Jesus does. Now get this, whatever you praise, you magnify. Whatever you praise, you magnify. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. When you walk around and all you do is mope on your problems, guess what? Problems get bigger and bigger. What? You're feeding them. You're feeding them. You're feeding them in your mind. You're feeding them in your soul. I'm just surrounded by problems. Let me give you a clue. I don't know if this will help or not. We are all surrounded by problems. If you are living and breathing, you have problems surrounding you. Now, you can participate in the problem or just have problems around you. But we all have problems, don't we? We all got issues. You know, that's what the big word is today. We've all got issues. You hear kids say, mom's got an issue, dad's got an issue. Hear parents say, kids got an issue, teachers, they got an issue. Everybody's got issues, okay? Get over it. We've all got issues. Your issues are not any different from anybody else's. I'm not saying that to belittle your issue if you're going through a particularly hard time, but it's so easy to get into that. and it appears like it's so hard to get out of it, you need to praise the Lord. You need to praise God. Why? Because he's going to still put an end to, exterminate, destroy, remove, cause to fail the enemy and the avenger who's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Praise will do that. Well, I just don't understand how. Well, you just magnified the problem. You just magnified the issue. Why? Because your God's too small. Because you don't believe in the foundation. If I praise my enemy, I give him strength. If I praise Yahweh, I give him strength in me. In hard times, I want to praise Yahweh. I want to praise the thing that's going to help me get out of the problem, not the thing that put me there to start with. Amen? Now, let me kind of close with this. Satan has an image problem. He sees himself as God. Okay? But every time he looks at you, he sees the image of God because Yahweh created you in his image. He did not create Satan in his image. He created you in his image. This is why Satan is called the Avenger in Psalm 8:2. Because he's so upset. Because he thinks, I'm created in the image of God. Then he looks at you. And every time he looks at you, he is reminded, devil, you were never created in the image of God. He's got an image problem. He looks in the mirror and he sees himself. When you look in the mirror, you should see the redeemed of the Lord. Yeah. You should see a child created in the image of God. You should see God's power, God's strength surging through. You should see this glory that is above the heavens encapsulated in you. That's what you ought to see. Now, we have image problems too, but at least we have sight that we can correct it. But the devil has just messed up in his head really, really bad. Psalm 8 says Satan is the avenger because he wants to take vengeance on you for what he is not. Again, go to Psalm 8. Let me read most of the chapter to you, verses 1 through 6, because it raises profound questions. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength or praise because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are so mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than Elohim. That's what the Hebrew says. You've made man a little lower than God, than yourself. And you have crowned man with glory and honor. You have made man to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under man's feet. What is man? Well, you're created in the image of God. You're created to rule and to have dominion over everything that God created. And praise is an expression of our faith that God is our Redeemer. It says, what is man? Well, you can belittle yourself or you can say, I agree with the Scripture. I agree with God. God counts you as so valuable that he is, in Psalm 8, he's reiterating Genesis 1:26. You're created in the image of God. If for no other reason, as a believer, because I've been restored to God, as a believer, I'm going to confess in hard times, I'm in the image of God, of Christ. I'm in the image of God. He made me like himself because he wanted me to be that way. Think about it. He wanted me to be that way. It's his desire for me. I could take you to Ephesians. It says that we would be filled, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be filled with the fullness of God himself, of Christ himself. To be filled with the fullness of God. Well, if I'm filled with the fullness of God, why should I mope? Shouldn't I praise God? Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm created in your image. Thank you, Father. You live in me. Stand up. Praise you, God. praise you with me. Now say this with me. You can say it as many times as you want. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we will magnify you. We will praise you because, God, you are great and you live in us. Your glory fills the heavens and it fills us. We are created, God, in your image, in your likeness, to have dominion over the devil because he is a creation of your hands. But, God, we are a creation of in your image, and we have authority over enemies. We have authority over devils. We have authority over depression. We have authority over sickness, authority over disease. God, you've created us to be free from these things because you have redeemed us from every evil work. God, we give you praise for this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Glory to God. Now, see, this needs to become a normal way of life. Not just church, not just Sunday morning or Sunday night. This needs to become a daily walk of your life to praise the Lord. Just to say thank you. Thank you. I mean, I remember we went to a Kenneth Copeland conference years and years ago, and we're sitting up in the cheap seats. See, I mean, we're way up in the balcony, and there weren't hardly anybody there where we were sitting, and they were dancing down on the floor and during praise and worship, and I'm sitting up there, and we're actually standing, and I looked down, and I just told the Lord, said, man, I'd like to be able to dance like that. He says, go ahead. I said, what? He says, go ahead. I said, I can't dance. I mean, people will look at me. He says, Gordon, when are you? God has a sense of humor. He says, Gordon, when are you going to see these people ever again? I'm thinking, well, I don't know. He says, in heaven? I guess so. He says, you don't even know who these people are. And you're worried about being embarrassed in front of them? Now, I began to dance. And I'm in the rows of chairs and on a incline and everything, but I began to dance. I mean, I really went for it. I went absolutely wild. You know, I mean, I was just doing the charismatic shuffle back and forth, but I mean, it just, oh, I could feel the release. I could feel the power flowing. You know, sometimes when you start out praising the Lord, it is so difficult to say, thank you, Jesus, because we have not trained ourselves to be thankful. We teach our children that, or hopefully we teach our children those things, to say thank you, please, and thank you. But for so many adults, when it comes to God, it is so hard for us to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Father, for being with me. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved me from sin. Thank you, God, that I'm born again. Thank you, Father, that you are with me and will never leave me or forsake me. Thank you. You've got to start. It may seem like, well, but that's so silly. If it's so silly, why can't you do it? But for some people, just you are fighting hell itself to say, thank you, Jesus. Well, you need to be trained. Yes. Need to be retrained, yes, to get it right. Yes. Because we're magnifying the devil all the time. Whenever you say, well, people just don't understand how rough I've got it. You're not magnifying God. You're magnifying the devil. You're magnifying your problem. You're right. Nobody knows how rough you've got it. You don't know how rough they've got it. Because you have no clue. You don't know what other people are going through. Sometimes they can tell you, and you still don't, you can't imagine what they're going through. People are going through hard times, and it may be you. But you need to learn how to say thank you, God. It starts at a small level, but it's got to start. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that you are with us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You have redeemed me from the curse. You have set us free, Father, from every influence of the devil. You have destroyed his work in us, God. And Lord, we can praise you and honor you and acknowledge you in all of our ways because you are our good God. And we praise you for this, God, that we are created in your image, that we are born again, that we are saved from sin, that we have come out of darkness into light, and we walk in the power of Almighty God. For this, Father, we praise you. For this, Lord, we worship you, because you do not change. But Lord, you change our conditions. You change our circumstances. You cause the avenger and the enemy to be still, to destroy him by the praise of our lips. And we thank you, Father, for all this power that you've given to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you.